Open our Bibles and open up to 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2, and we left off in the 18th verse last week, and we started to enter into a very precious portion of Scripture. It's all precious, but a portion of Scripture that's truly emphasizing submission. And last week, we were beginning to dwell upon the submission to governments, to authority, and Lord willing, tonight we'll start to enter into submission to masters, those that would be over you, husbands, wives, brothers and sisters, and that can start to get pretty overwhelming, can it? All this submission stuff, but I think the key to it all, and the Word of God does point to it, that if we're really going to grasp this, if you're ever really going to submit, it's all unto the Lord. It's not to a person, it's unto God. It's because we love Him. When we look at people, brothers and sisters, we're always going to have a problem. You will. Eventually, you will have a problem when we look at a person. We'll always have an excuse, we'll always have a reason why we're not going to submit to someone. It's the truth. But in faith and love, when we truly look to God, when we look in His Word, by grace, He will allow us to take a victory. And we need to have these victories in our life. I think this world at this time is encouraging so much to act out and to act up. And it's getting to be somewhat of a cool thing. The Word of God tells us to seek peace with all men as much as lies within you. Jesus Christ, obviously the greatest example of someone that you talk about unjust and undue suffering. With what they did, how they ridiculed, how they mocked, and yet He never lifted a finger, a hand, in anything. And all He could say upon that cross was, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. I really believe that sermon that we gave not too long ago, God was just about ready to change His mind. I'm telling you, He saw His Son, but God did want a family. And that was the will of God, don't get me wrong. But He had to turn away. He couldn't look upon what they were doing and what His Son was becoming upon that cross, which was sin for us. And He knew no sin. So in that, brothers and sisters, I hope we would settle down and truly not to be something of what this flesh wants to be, to act out and to act ugly, but to truly receive the love and the patience and the truth that we can submit just as Christ Jesus submitted unto God in all things. And brothers and sisters, that's a key trait to the full overcomer. We must have it. It must be in our lives. God is calling out in His Word for us to be a submissive people. It doesn't mean that we're kowtowing or bowing down to other things. It's unto the Lord. It always says unto God. I want you to understand that. And we're standing and standing strong because the Lord is who strengthens us. But we're not out there to drive a point or to, again, try to right a wrong. We're there to love the Lord. And in loving the Lord, let me tell you something. That's a power they can't stop. So we'll just leave it with that. Now let's begin in verse 18 here of the second chapter. And it says, Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Now, at this time in Rome, slavery was very common. It's thought that a third to one half of the entire population in Rome at this time were slaves. And now we'll go to the Christians. The percentage was even much higher than that, and they really think it was doubled. So as many as 75 to maybe 85% of Christians living in Rome were slaves. And this is who God is, again, encouraging through this vessel, Peter. And notice here, The calling for subjection is not just if you had a good master. Oh, no. The calling here is even unto masters that were harsh to these people, that were unruly, that gave them undue punishment and treatment. And praise God if, I was thinking, praise God if you have a godly boss. I hope you do. But I'm going to tell you something, even with an ungodly boss, the Lord calls for us to have the same subjection. You've heard me say it before. Even if you think you work for Beelzebub's brother himself, you better leave it with God. Leave it with God. He's on the throne. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what you need. By grace, may we learn to trust him. This is reward unspeakable and full of glory. It's wonderful. And this is the fulfillment, brothers and sisters, of Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do it heartily as to the Lord. See, I'm not doing it for someone else. I'm not doing it for you. You're not doing it for me. We're doing it as unto God. Yeah. That's what gets us through. That's what gets us through sometimes when we go to work and we don't really like our job. I'm doing it as unto the Lord. This is where he has me today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's be glad. Let's rejoice. Let's be thankful. Let's rejoice again and again. And again, I say rejoice. Always. All those things. Praise God. Are we really in that type of spirit? I want to be. I hope we covet to be like that. And God can bring it. But we have to be a willing vessel, brothers and sisters, to receive that type of anointing. I'm not talking something superficial or fake. It's sincerity and truth that's going to win him. And the sincerity and truth is really going to bring me joy and understanding. And it's faith that says, Lord, you can fill me with this kind of joy. You can fill me with this kind of joy and rejoicing all the time, anytime, even when I'm facing adversity, even when I know that I have someone here that may dislike me, that's being very onerous to me, all of those types of things that they meant it for evil, but thank God you meant it for good. Praise God. And for my good. And see, this is really what life is about. It's about God. It's about what he's doing in us. It's not about my thoughts. We have to be convinced, brothers and sisters, that our battle is exactly what the Word of God says. We are not battling flesh and blood. The Word of God tells us that we battle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This, brothers and sisters, is the good fight of faith battling in our lives. And notice here what it says. It says that the reward is in the undue suffering. That's where the reward is. That's where the treasure is. Now you think of how quick mankind is. I know it's not you, but we are to murmur when we're suffering unjustly. That's glory. That's the reward time. It's not when we're suffering for something we did wrong. It's when we're suffering because we had nothing to do with it. We know that it was a God-willed suffering. Praise the Lord. You've heard me say it many times. I don't want to live a God-allowed life. I want to live a God-willed life. There's a difference. There's a great difference. The difference where I'm coming in to know him. And I can enter into the sufferings that cause me to know him. Praise the Lord. This is a high calling time. This is, we're in an age where he's looking for that people for his name's sake. Praise God. And it's to our benefit to suffer for his name's sake. It says here that it is acceptable. This pleases God. And let's just connect it through. It's impossible to please God without faith. So it's obvious that when we endure this unjust treatment as unto the Lord, it is the greatest expression of our faith in God. Otherwise, you'd be out of your mind to sit there and take it. Think about it. We know. That's why people that don't know look at you sitting there in these situations and you're still at peace and you're saying, I know God's in this and God is for me. I believe God and I'm going to be still and know that he is God. And I know it's not hard for him to move mountains, part seas or any of that. But he can have me be still. Right in the fiery furnace. And I know that that door is right there and I could actually run out or not want to be in there. But yet I choose by His grace to stay in the sufferings with Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8:17 and 2 Timothy 2:12. They emphasize this reward in suffering, brothers and sisters. I am encouraged in my heart that the Lord has caused me to endure the suffering. Romans 8:17 says that if we suffer together with Him, we'll also be glorified together with Him, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:12 tells us that if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. There's reward in it. It's the greatest of reward. It has to be that way. You're not going to get around it. He wants you to be like Him. He does. That's His desire. His desire is to put the glory of God in your life. That glory is going to be put there one way when we are tried, when you take up the cross that He has for you and you go after Him. It will be that way, especially when you're going after God's best. You don't have to ask for suffering. You don't have to try to find it. Believe you me, He'll bring it on. He's going to test you and He's going to try you, because that's what pleases Him, is that faith that comes forth in the vice. But I also want you to notice here, brothers and sisters, and we also need to face up to this, that there is no glory, there is no faith when we suffer for our own wrong. There isn't. Read it. It's sad, and it's often that I hear a cry of suffering for our own wrongdoing. And the sad part is when we try to attempt to disguise it for Christ's sufferings. Don't do that. You can't fool God. He knows. He knows. And what I'm encouraged to tell you is what I have been encouraged to the Lord, as He's encourage yourself in the Lord, just be repentant in heart and face up to your unbelief. And then let's get on with it, Lord. I'm going to turn it over to You and You're going to work it together for my good. How long are you going to be stubborn with it? How long are you going to hold on to it and try to pretend and even try to fool yourself that this was something that God allowed? I mean, God willed in your life for this suffering, and it wasn't that at all. God just allowed you to go that way. He's never going to force you. God will not force you. He will encourage you. He'll lead you. He'll tend to you. But He's not going to force you. He gave us free will. He wants us to worship out of a thankful heart. And say, Lord, I know this life is about You. And I can't even imagine that You took the time for me. For me. For You. Very God of very God, that You care this much. You're paying attention to me. Your whole purpose is about me. Lord, help me to respond to that. Help my heart to be thankful that I would want to come after You. I'm understanding when it says, it's my reasonable service. It's not that I owe Him something. There's no way I could ever pay Him back. All He's asked me to do is to love Him. To be thankful. Well, in the natural, I'm so thankful. I have parents that love me, and they gave me a home and gave me an education and all these things. And I love my folks. But it wasn't even for that. I'm thankful for all those provisions. But the greatest thing I'm thankful for is they love me. And pretty much lived their lives for their children. What an example. How much more so God for you. God for me. And yet I'm going to sit here and say, well, I'm not going to submit to that. You'll wish you did. You'll wish you did. And I can say that from experience. All right. But I've also noticed, brothers and sisters, that most godly suffering, most real godly suffering, is seldom ever heard or noticed by man. And the reason is because there's such a peace within to take it to the Lord. And not take it before man. It's thinking, do you have faith to trust Him for it? Now have the faith to trust Him with it. What do you think of that? All right, let's turn over to Ephesians. You knew we were going there. I hope you just keep your finger there throughout this study. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's read what the Lord's encouraging us there. Verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Boy, talk about heartily unto God. Not with eye service. You're not fooling anybody. Meaningfully do this, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord, and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So wonderful. That's some sufficient witness before we move on to the next part. All right, let's go back to 1 Peter and let's pick it up from verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called. Listen to that. For even hereunto were ye called. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Isn't that just so precious? Now, right off the bat there, he leaves no mystery about this. You and I, we were called to it. We have been called to this. Now, you said you wanted to know your calling. I hear that all the time. Well, I know I've got a calling. Yes, you do. Read the Word of God. Here is your calling. You have been called to this. You can't get away from it. You're His. You're not your own anymore. When we finally realize to just really let go and have God take it. God take this life. It's amazing. And you know it. You know it. You're here in a Bible study. By the grace of God, He's allowed you to let go of something. It's the truth. Yeah, He's brought you here. He said, Lord, lead me. Well, you're being led into the truth. You've let go of something. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? All right. He died, and we died and have been raised together with Him. And now it's time for one thing. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. That's what it is. And to grow up requires suffering together with Him. We've mentioned it earlier. Take up your cross. There's not going to be any getting around it. And why? So that we can be glorified together with Him. And that's what He is after. He is after His glory in us. Christ in me is the hope of glory. That's the glorious event that He is wanting in our life. And it is our privilege, as the Word of God states here, to be counted worthy to suffer. The Word of God even says, and happy are ye. We'll jump ahead a little bit. Let's go over to 1 Peter here, chapter 3. Go to verse 14. It says, but, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, these are undue sufferings. This is what God wills in our life. Happy are ye. Now, you didn't know that you were happy. But spirit man is happy. New man is happy. That old thing you keep dragging around. Doesn't know about that happy. But you're happy, are ye? Isn't that wonderful? I love that verse. It's not giving me a choice. This is who you are. Happy are ye. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. Sure, I can grumble and moan, and sure, it might not be joyous for the moment. But I appreciate this brother. He's figuring it out here. And you think about this, Peter. This is the one I can't imagine denying the Lord those three times and right to his face. And happy are ye. Because he got to the point. He said, I divinely love you, Lord. It took all of these things. All of these failures. All of these flops. Of me trying to stand in my own steadfastness. And obviously that wasn't going to work because I'm going to fall. But I finally got it. It's you. It's your love. That's what's going to do it here. And happy are ye. And be not afraid of the terror. See, it's going to be around you. Neither be troubled. All right? That's what he's given us when we suffer for his name's sake. Remember there in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when we are weak, when we are brought low, when we are despised, it is right then that the very power of Christ is resting upon us. Yeah, that's the greatest thing. Man may think that we're done. Oh, he's finished. Just carnage out there. Tell you what, that's when God can do something. Because the very power of his son has arrived. You've let it happen by the grace of God. It's there. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm seeing more and more that this precious power that he is talking about here is truly the glorified together with him power. It is. That's, you talk about his glory. That was the glory he received when he went through all the suffering and the suffering of the cross and became sin for us who knew no sin. I'm never going to bear anybody's sins. I understand that. There was just one. That's Jesus Christ. But he's asked me to enter into that suffering. And if I'll willingly go, this is a God of exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. He's going to bring that glory and allow me to be in that glory with him. I'm getting it, Lord, how when you said that you're going to make known to him that you love me, if I'll enter into this with you, there's going to be a time that'll blow my mind. Praise God. Now, also in this verse 21 that we read here, it's so precious, where it says there that ye should follow his steps. In the Greek, that meaning really is there to finish the course. It means to finish. That's the emphasis there. And I was just so thankful how, praise God, he is always bringing forth the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to us. If you want it, it's here. He'll bring it to us. And God is dealing with us that way. He's dealing us, yea, the deep things of God. I mean, they're there. And this is this finishing that he wants. And to finish it with joy. Not just to finish it like this. Oh, I suffered for the Lord's sake. And oh, I'm a Christian. I got beat around again. That's not the joy that he wants us to have. He wants us to be thankful that we've been counted worthy to come into that place with him. Now, I know that, brothers and sisters, there's times. And there's a lot of times when anything comes. There's going to be moments. But praise be to God. Allow them to be just a moment. Let's be the overcomer that, yeah, here it comes. But you know what? We're buoyant. We're not sinking under those waves. We're buoyant by the grace of God. His love is what sustains us. His love is what holds us up. And that's the love that by the grace of God we can see and we can understand that, Lord, this is your plan. This isn't man's devised plan to defeat me. Don't go there. This is your plan. You even had those assignments for those evil guys to come in and try to defeat me and all of these things because you wanted to show the faithfulness of God in my life. Yeah, that's how much he loves us. I hope we're convinced. And praise God, he's bringing that forth in us. If we will suffer, we will reign. It's his word and his promise. We will be like him. When we see him, we're going to be like him. But as we've said before, are you going to be like him as the baby in the manger? It's true. Are we going to see him as a babe? Or are we going to see him as the fully finished, cross-bearing, mature Son of God? That's how I want to see him. He's offered that to us. I was talking with my wife today about a drive and about wanting to accomplish and things of that nature. And I appreciate when you see people that are driven, that have goals and go after things. and that are competitive and things of that. But this is a drive beyond. This is faith. This is something you can't see. This is something that He's allowed by Scripture for you by faith to take hold of and say, I want to win you, Lord. And you talk about being driven. The bride of Christ is driven. She wants to win Him. That is her prize. She has made herself ready. You talk about, and people talk, well, is it competitive? That's not competitive with anybody else. It's not that. It's, I'm in love. I'm absolutely in love with you, Lord. I want what you want for me. I'm convinced that you are the God of everything. And that this is what your plan is. This is what your word says. And this is the place that you will for me to take. This is what you want for me. Absolutely, absolutely blows my mind what He's doing. All right, let's keep going. Verse 22 and 23. He then goes and says, I did it all. Aren't you thankful? And this is the very life that He has given us, brothers and sisters. He did it all. And make sure known that we could have never done this. But He can, and He did, and this is our enabling, is His life in us that finished it. It's done. He's given us that very life. Christ in me is the hope of glory. See, there's no need, as we read on here, to strike back. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. We know that. The battle is His. And it's so true. I appreciated Mom many times growing up. You start this battle when He's given you that new life. You do. Kids in school, you better realize this. You're going to find teachers. You're going to find students. You never met them before. They just don't like you. And it's not you. And it's not them. It's just spiritual wickedness. They can't understand. They might even hate you. I had people that hated me that way. I did. Now, some of it I encouraged. But a lot of it, some of it, was undue suffering, but really it was. There was some, that, and you could see God's hand in that, and it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. They couldn't figure it out. And they would try. I had teachers, and my mom will tell you, that tried to give me bad grades. They couldn't figure out. They were obsessed. I had this one lady, she was obsessed with giving me a bad grade. Well, I got 100 on the test. Well, I'm still going to give you a bad grade. I mean, it was almost that kooky. But that's how people are when they're driven by an evil purpose. And it's just a fact. It's just the way it is. Accept it. They can't help it. They were incensed with the Lamb. Here was the one that came to die for them. Never did anything. Healed the sick. Raised the dead. But yet they were bent to stick Him on that cross. Bent. There wasn't anything that they were going to do to let that go. You can have Barabbas. You can have all of those criminals. You could let all the rapists and pedophiles and everything and let them in the village. But we want that Jesus and we want Him dead. Think about this. It's the truth. Now, they hated me. They're going to hate you. And they're going to hate you without a cause. Now that doesn't mean we go around paranoid, because we know who protects us. And if He be for us, who could be against us? See, again, know the full Word of God and know it on in its context. Know what He is to you. Know that you're going to be challenged in these things. But know who holds you. Can't touch me. Not a hair of my head. Stick me in the furnace. I'm not even going to smell like smoke if you don't want me to. Love it. That's your God. That's the God that loves you. Praise the Lord. And in doing good to them that despitefully use you, it's great payback. It's like heaping hot coals of fire on their head. See, God does that. They don't get it. And it's just the love of God that's got to take control and do that. And may we learn, brothers and sisters, to let God fight the battle, because He's always victorious, ain't He? That's right. I get in there and I'm always losing. They're always smarter than me. They're always bigger than I am. They're always stronger than I am. I turn it over to God and I watch a whooping take place. It's the truth. Know it. Know it. And then look at verse 24. You see how you could just stay in here? We could never get out of here. I was telling Polly, oh, man, I thought we'd been in 2 Peter by now. And see, you just go with God and He'll bring it out. But in verse 24 there, the Greek word is not stripes. It's actually a singular. It's stripe. It's bruise. One, the ultimate wound. What it's speaking of there is His death. That's the stripe. Praise God. And by His death, what He's encouraging us, you're healed of everything in that death. You're healed completely. Perfect. Isn't that wonderful? Holy, righteous. I'm healed moment by moment because He finished it. I love how He said that. His own self. His own self. Jesus alone, no help from any other. The Lamb of God. My Lamb of God. Who loved and died for me. And He's my shepherd. He leads me. He guides me. Does. Brings me into the pastures green. Beside the still waters. He'll also sometimes lead me through the valley of the shadow of death. Sure. Got to be that way. Read the Word of God. That's the path for us as Christians. But the way that He leads, it's always going to be right. See, we cannot lead ourselves, brothers and sisters. The way of the world is as a sheep without a shepherd. You may think you know where you're going. You may think you know what you're doing. You better really get into the Word of God and making sure your life is aligning up with His Word, or I'll guarantee you He's not shepherding your life. And I do not want to go about life without the shepherd leading my life. It'll be destruction. I'll be out of the house of Bethel, the house of God, in no time flat. Worship will become something of the past. I can get so apart from the things of God. He never leaves nor forsakes me. But I can remove myself so far from the things of God. I encourage you, open up Romans 1. There isn't a sin but for the grace of God that you're not able to commit. Know it. Know it. I need grace. I need Him. I need my precious shepherd. All right, yep, we have time. Let's get into chapter 3. See, ladies, you thought that we were going to have to do this next week. I'm just teasing. We're probably only going to get through that tonight. So, brothers, you got to come back and get your chastening next week, too. All right, let's read chapter 3, and we'll read 1 through 6. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Notice it says own husbands. That if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, the mannerisms, the lifestyle, the behavior of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I think it's so precious there, speaking of women here, the hidden man that's in your heart. Just like the man who, the hidden man is in that heart. It's the same Jesus. Praise the Lord. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, there seems to be much confusion when these verses are read. And I just encourage us, let's go back to the beginning of this study. Submission. As unto God. As unto God. Let's quickly go over to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll begin reading Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Listen to this, everyone. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's how it begins. And so let's just set it straight, that we submit one to another as unto the Lord. Okay? He's our head. By His grace, we're that wonderful body, compacted, fitly joined together. And we want to edify one another. We want to promote spiritual growth in you. By the grace of God, desire to promote spiritual growth in me. All right? Now that's what we're after here. So that's how it starts us off, is submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In everything. All right. Now, you still with me? Ladies? Amen? You want a godly man? I hope I had a louder amen. Want a godly man? Amen. Amen. And I want to be a godly woman too. But ladies, if we want to have a godly man in our lives, a man that will love you as Christ will love the church and gave Himself for it, submit to God. Submit to God. Mm-hmm. Willingly place yourself under the guidance of your husbands, and there is nothing greater that will ever convict your husband to be obedient to the Lord and to the Word of God. Amen. It's the truth. When we submit to the Lord, it's amazing what will happen. Yeah, read it. Read what it's saying here. Without the Word. That means without a word. Ladies, there's no lectures necessary. What do you think about that? Huh? Men, you were very wise. I didn't hear one amen. I got to stay with this now. But it's true. There's no lectures necessary because the testimony will convict. The testimony will convict like nothing else. It is. It's the walk. It's the manner of life. It's not what's just spoken. People knew that they were Christians because of their love one for another. It wasn't because they were running around with a bunch of Bibles or saying this or that. They knew it because of love. By the grace of God, when people walk into this place, there's a difference. Because we love the truth. And that's a gift. That's the grace of God. It's nothing of ourselves. But that's the desire of my heart. That this would be a place. I wish every place would just love the truth. Absolutely. But I'm so thankful that this is a place that loves the truth. And if you're looking for that kind of love and the love of God, you will find that. And this is what it's saying here, is whether it's in this meeting or in your home or at your work or wherever it is, let them know. Without a word that's spoken, that's a Christian. That's a Christian. Because of the love of God. It's just there. The mannerisms are there. And this, I will tell you, will work on a Christian and a non-Christian husband alike. It will. That's God's promise. It will work on both. Say, how could that be? Well, it's the Lord. How could He be so great? But that's His Word. It will work on the Christian and the non-believing husbands alike. It's your behavior. It's our conduct in truth and love that will turn the battle. May we learn to let God deal with them. Because you know what? You can't fight God. You can try, I guess. But it doesn't work. He always wins. And this is where He's encouraging us. Trust Him. In verse 3, I want to really point this out. To begin with, ladies, this is not condemning a woman who wears jewelry or makeup. Did you hear that? I know there's some people that think, well, you can't wear jewelry or makeup or any of that stuff. Go read about Esther. Go read about her preparation before she went unto the king. And I hope you'll be quiet. I really hope sometimes you're just to shut up. You know, I know that might not be nice, but sometimes that's the best way to get it across. Read the Word of God. Understand what's being said here. But what he is emphasizing in this scripture is that in rather than being obsessed, listen to this, rather than being obsessed with external beauty, let's be concerned with eternal beauty. Amen. Eternal beauty, and that's what's within. It is truly what counts with God. God says that he looks upon the heart. That's what he's convinced with. Let that be the thing that wins one another. And again, we understand that that is so opposed to what the world's view is, isn't it? It's all about the suit, as we were saying there, right? The presence. Beautiful people. That's what's out there. How it's... I appreciate beautiful people in a sense, God's creation, all of those different things. But to where it becomes something that's obsessive, you can see how it's hurt our young people, the anorexia that it causes. All of the mental issues with people wanting to be different, look different, all of these different things. And we've all gone through it. Be honest. But wasn't it wonderful when we finally accepted? And I hope if you haven't, do it tonight. God made me just like he made me. Beautiful old me. You're beautiful to him. The treasure. The goodly pearl. He's searching for you. He really is. He wants you to be that bride. He wants you to enter in to the one that will ravish him. The one that has... Let's go back to Esther. Not only will I grant your petition, but my half is yours. And you know what? It's just yours. I know you're thinking, well, it says, well, up to half of the kingdom. No, you really read what he's saying there. It's ours. It's as much mine as yours. Blows your mind, doesn't it? Believe the Word of God. Don't let your self-righteousness hold you back. Say, well, how could he want me equally like that with him? Well, he does. Just does. That's what he desires. You know, when you desire a bride in the natural, men, I hope you wouldn't ever think that, well, it's just to her benefit, you know, and this is going to be mine over here and you can stay out here in the garage. It would never work that way, would it now? No, when you're really in love and you're truly in love, it's just, you're one. You're one. God gave us that oneness. This even still, at least, there's some thread of that it is a marvelous and a wonderful contract that at least our laws have to have us break if we're going to break a marriage. That's how he thinks of that marriage, is it's so one. But that's the marriage up on high. That's what he wants us to enter into. That's what's so exciting, is the oneness with him. All right, I'll move on. But it's hard to. But again, as it's opposed to what the world looks at in the beauty, they're always looking at the outside. And as I was thinking about that, I thought, well, I'm thankful again that it's so opposite to my infinite God. Man's thoughts start paralleling up with God's ways. I'd have trouble with that, I think. But the Word of God tells me they're always going to be opposite. They're not His ways. His ways are past finding out. They're going to be something different. And in this, it just lets me know more and more that He is God. But brothers and sisters, bottom line, what it's getting at here is it's about character. It is. It's about character. For all of us, it's about character. And specifically, godly character. He's seeking and desiring to build in us His opinion of beauty. Did you hear that? His opinion of beauty? And you know what his opinion of beauty is? It's meekness. It's gentleness. It's kindness. It's humility. It's men and women of no reputation. Not seeking to have worldly accolades thrown at you, but rather seeking to give glory to God. That if he does so choose to, in a sense, in this world, naturally speaking, lift you up, and praise God. You understand. And We do as much as we can, and I'm thankful that Brother Hill started this, and we continue with this and try to be led as the Lord leads us, but to encourage these young people to go to college. We support many of them in different ways going to college, actually all of them, if they want to go. Say that too loud, you can imagine how many young people we'd have in here. They're here for the right reasons, praise God. But in that advancement, what a glory when you magnify the Lord in it. I said, this is what God has done. This is what God has done. But I hope you understand, say that no matter. This is what God has done. If I'm digging the ditch today, I did it heartily unto you. This is what God has done. The last is going to be first. But thank God it didn't say not any. It just said not many wise. Not many mighty. Right? Huh? Amen. All right. So giving God the glory. We'll wrap it up here. So, think about adorning ourselves with the new man. Think about putting on Christ daily. Think about letting His glory and His love be our clothing as we go. Not the designer this and that, but putting on Christ Jesus. Letting them see Him. And in case we're still going to buck up against this, and I will have to say to the ladies, in case we're really going to buck up against this, God specifically there in verse 6 uses Abraham and Sarah. Now you think about this real quickly as we go home and then you can sleep on it. This was a guy that she followed out of the promised land. I want you to kind of, let's get this all together. Well, you don't know what I followed my husband out of. She followed him out of the promised land. And into the land of the heathen, she kept her mouth shut and was even given over to be Pharaoh, to Pharaoh as his wife. Now you talk about some historic, monumental bad decisions. Come on. These are some really bad decisions. And I have to say, you don't think that she saw it coming? I don't know, in my heart, I believe that she did see it coming. I believe that there was a great example in this sweet wife. Because grace always sees it. Grace always sees that it needs to continue to cover it and cover it. And Sarah represents the grace of God, as you know that story. Grace enabled her to submit as unto God, and she was blessed for it. And you know what? Abraham was blessed too. Yeah. He was blessed too. She took her place under the hand of God. She trusted God. And God, the deliverer, brought them out even from Abraham's bad decisions. What do you think? Is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? You're going to give up on it? I pray you don't. He's for you. It's for you. He's given us spouses that I believe in my heart of hearts they're the right one. Do. I know you're thinking, what are you saying? I'm just preaching the word. Just preaching the word. Can you imagine we're just preaching the word of God? It's the sharper than any two-edged sword. It's going to cut. Can't help but do it. But what a message to trust the Lord at His word, brothers and sisters. That's all you got. That's all I have. I hope we really understand that. It's the word of God. And may we just submit to that wondrous word. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You again for this evening. We thank You that You're dealing with our lives. Lord, help us to take comfort in You. Help us to, again, there's things here that are cutting. There's things here that many of us don't want to hear. But Lord, let us know that You're the God of all comfort, and You're comforting us in Your truth. You're convicting lives here to win Your best. Help us to respond. Help us not to have deaf ears to this. Help us not to have a hardened heart to Your word. But Lord, break up the fallow ground. May it work deep. May we love the truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.